welcome. Thanks for joining me for this week's Admission Straight Talk, a podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can joyously inform the person next to you, yes, I'm in, even though you happen to be on a train and you haven't a clue whom you're talking to. You just can't contain yourself as you tell them the good news. And not only that, but you're going to be in and in at the right program for you. Now, one of the more interesting developments in the last couple of years, I think, on the graduate management education scene has been the development and growth of the master's in management programs. They've been growing in popularity, both among applicants and, equally important, if not more important, among recruiters. And we're going to speak to the admissions director of London Business School, who's the for the London Business School's master's in management program, and learn more about the degree. In the meantime, a quick reminder, if you have an admissions-related question that you would like me to address, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/85 and post your question as a comment. You can also send questions to me via email at questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, as was the one that I addressed last week in the entire episode, I'll ask and answer it on the show, typically just briefly at the beginning. We're developing a supportive, collaborative, and thoughtful community on Accepted. So please feel free to question, feel free to comment, and we'll go forward from there. Now, the timing of this interview is kind of interesting. It is the last interview of 2014 for me and will be the first podcast of 2015 for you. So by the time you hear this, the holidays will have passed. I hope you enjoyed them fully and are ready to start a great new year in 2015. For our first podcast of the year, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Jamie Wright, Senior Recruitment and Admissions Manager at London Business School's Masters of Management program. Jamie has previously been a guest on Accepted's Chats, but this is her first time participating in Admissions Straight Talk. A little background about Jamie. Jamie is a fellow Californian who earned her bachelor's degree at San Diego State University of California in 2006. She joined London Business School in 2009. And immediately began working with the then new Masters in Management program. It's a pleasure having her join me now on Admission Straight Talk. Jamie, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thanks for having me, Linda.
Great. Can you give us a little background on the degree itself? How long has it been around? Is it more popular in Europe than in the U.S.? Kind of, what's going on?
Yeah, sure. So our Masters in Management launched in 2009, so we've actually just welcomed our sixth class this past September, which is still, thank you, which is still hard for me to believe, since it was didn't seem all that long ago that we first launched the program. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned, is it sort of more popular in Europe? It's definitely, I think, started more as a European concept, perhaps. We're now starting to see the MIM I'd say launching really worldwide. So there are MIMS, or what would be considered pre-experienced master's programs, in North America, South America, Asia, and still sort of expanding all across Europe. So, you know, to us, this, I think, sort of demonstrates that there's a desire from recruiters to really employ new graduates who have sort of the technical skills and the soft skills as well, which is something that we really focus on here at London Business School.
Right. Now, you've alluded to this, I alluded to it, just last month, or this month for us, last month for our listeners, when they hear this, Forbes declared that the Master's in Management is the next big thing in business education. I actually did so almost 2 years ago, around this time of year, and again about a year ago, based on GMAC corporate recruiter data. And I'll link to the Forbes article as well as my posts on this subject. And the links will be at info.accepted.com/85. But for now, I want to discuss the Master's in Management, or MIM, degree before diving into the opportunities presented by London's MIM. To what do you attribute the popularity of the degree and the growth of the degree? Because it's been really rapid. It's been amazingly rapid.
It has been. I mean, the number of programs that were in existence when we launched, and certainly we launched a little bit later, our Master's in Management, after certainly a number of schools, has been really incredible to see. And it's exciting for us to see because, you know, it I think really is a signal that there is this need and desire, both on from the recruiter perspective, as I mentioned, but really from the students looking to sort of further their business acumen, or to build our business acumen, rather. So I think, you know, being the next big thing, I would definitely see that as a you know, a bit of a scary statement, but that's something that I would agree with. I think, you know, for those students wanting to pursue a career in business, you know, for its undergraduate degree might not necessarily be enough, which I know isn't exactly what, you know, students probably want to hear, but there is a lot of competition. There are a lot of people applying for the same roles, and I think that undergraduate students understand that they need to you know, really stand out. I mean, that's something that I think a lot of programs are saying, that you need to stand out. But more than anything, it's showing recruiters that you've really taken the time to further yourself as a business practitioner and to demonstrate that you have that motivation and desire to succeed in business, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, you want to work in tech and innovation or consulting or finance. But I think it's really a demonstration that you have that desire to excel.
Great. Thank you. Now, let's turn to the Masters in Management programs, because there are now two, at London Business School. Can you give us an overview of the one-year MIM at LBS? I guess that we can call that the classic MIM, even though it's only...
Yes, the first MIM that we launched.
Classic Coke, classic MIM, you know. Can you give us an overview of that?
Yeah, sure. So the one-year Masters in Management is aimed at sort of recent graduates, less than a year of sort of professional business experience, which would essentially include any job that you might go into after completing the Masters in Management, or less than 2 years of non-business experience. So that could include working in engineering or medicine or design, for example. We've had some architecture students come in, but who all have the goal to begin their careers immediately after completing their studies. So it is a general management degree. We have 8 core courses, which cover everything from financial accounting, management analysis and systems, leadership, economics, which sort of make up the core curriculum. And then we're excited that this year we have introduced electives into the program as well. So students are required to take 2 electives, which is really an opportunity for them to sort of deepen their knowledge in a particular subject area that will hopefully then help them in their careers after they graduate. So there are 2 MIM-only electives, which include entrepreneurship and corporate finance and capital markets. And then all of the other electives are from the electives portfolio. So the very exciting aspect of this is that MIMs will be in the classroom, in the study group, with MBA students, Masters in Finance students, possibly executive MBAs for some of the advanced courses. So we really see that as a very unique opportunity to kind of get that direct access and expertise in an academic setting. So I think it will add another complexity to the program and certainly be an exciting challenge.
Sure. And what about, is the 1 year, are the required courses basically parallel to the MBA core of many other programs or at London Business School specifically?
So you do hear talk of that sometimes. Is a MIM essentially an early MBA or a pre-MBA? And you know, the way we see it is, yes, there are you know, some shared study topics, because a general management degree is a general management degree, but the way in which the degrees are taught are quite different. So MBA students are really expected to bring that expertise that they have from their, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of work experience into the classroom and sort of mold the classroom discussion based on that experience. Well, MIMs have experience, most students who have about a year, I would say, of internships sort of during summer breaks before coming onto the program. And that the experience, we really aim to bring that to the students, so through case studies, through real-world projects. And then, of course, encourage the students to share their experiences with each other, whether that's internships, whether that's entrepreneurship. We have a lot of students now who have started businesses through their undergraduate studies. You know, and of course, a wealth of extracurricular activities, study abroad, etc. So in terms of the knowledge base that I think the students are bringing in on the MIM and the MBA are slightly different, but certainly less, you know, no less valuable in any particular classroom.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, what about the global MIM, the new MIM?
Yes, the new MIM. So we're very excited. We're currently recruiting for our Global Masters in Management, which we also refer to as the Global MIM. So that launches next September. And this is a double degree program in partnership with Fudan University. So students spend their first year in London and they graduate with an MSc in Management from London Business School. And they spend their second year in Shanghai at Fudan University. And they graduate with a Master's in International Business. So, it's I think a very exciting opportunity for anyone who, you know, might not necessarily want a career in China or a career in Asia, but who is interested in potentially have a career that might involve interaction with Asian companies.
Right.
So the idea of the program is to really give students a better understanding of Asian business practices, you know, the cultural practices, and kind of understanding how Eastern and Western businesses can form successful working partnerships.
Great. Now let's turn. Before I get there, who are these degrees? And I know they're aimed at early career applicants, okay, and you mentioned up to 1 year of work experience, but I mean, if you had a business undergrad, is the MIM for you, or is it for people who perhaps majored in political science or economics or assigned their STEM fields and now want to couple their technical knowledge or their qualitative analytical ability with a business education? I mean,
Without sounding too vague, all of the above, I would say. So the majority of students who come on to our Master's in Management come from a sort of split between business, engineering, economics. So what we find from the students who have some business experience is that, you know, they tell us that their undergraduate degrees have been quite theoretical in nature. So while they understand frameworks, they understand ideas, it's when they sort of get into discussion about how those frameworks are applied in a practical setting that there's a little bit of a disconnect, and that's what they're why they're looking to pursue Masters in Management. But on the flip side of that, we have number of students who come from many different study backgrounds. We've had students from studying music, languages, classics, literature, history, and I think for anyone who has a non-business background, it's they realize that they might need a little bit of a conversion to be able to, again, you know, demonstrate to recruiters that they have those skills. So once they are recruited, they're able to really hit the ground running as a student who maybe, you know, has a 3-year bachelor's degree in business as well. So I think it's for, you know, any student who is looking for a career in business needs to maybe bridge that theory and practical knowledge and also work on the soft skills. I think I mentioned the soft skills earlier.
Can you go into that a little bit more? What are the soft skills that you're talking about?
Yeah, well, when we created the Masters in Management, it was actually in consultation with recruiters, and we asked them, what are recent undergraduates, what are they lacking when they get into the workplace? And, there was a discussion around, self-awareness. So it's having that understanding of, you have this experience, how can you use it in a professional setting? So if you've been a leader, how can you be a leader in a company when you're first just starting out? How do you manage up? How do you manage down? How do you pitch a new business or, go into a meeting with a potential new business client? So it's sort of understanding the nuances, I guess, of the soft skills that are absolutely vital when you go into a working environment. So we have courses on creative thinking. We have, the all important PowerPoint presentation. We have business etiquette. We have networking. I think networking is, something that, it might seem like, yes, you go to a networking event, you sort of give business cards, but what happens when there are five people in a circle with, in a conversation? How do you interject yourself into that conversation in the appropriate way to kind of make sure you're involved in the discussion? So it's really about, using those skills that you have before coming into the program, maybe understanding them in a slightly different way, so when you get into the working world, you're able to demonstrate that to your employer.
Okay, it sounds great. What kinds of jobs are graduates going into after they leave the MIM?
For the class that graduated in 2013, it's sort of split one-third between consulting, finance, and industry. For anyone who looks at our employment report, industry is essentially anything that's not consulting and finance. So that could include healthcare, energy, TMT, marketing, exactly, tech, entrepreneurship. So we're actually seeing that as a trend at the school, that there are more and more students who are sort of going into, corporate roles. So, I don't know if there's a complete shift happening there, but certainly we're seeing, more of an interest in maybe sort of going into some of these other industries. So MIMS do go into entry-level positions, so it could be, the position and title will change depending on the industry and the company. But if you're interested in marketing, you might become an assistant brand manager, for example, at an FMCG company. Or at a consultancy, you might be going into an analyst position. But it's interesting to see entrepreneurship as well as a big interest area, and we've had a number of students go on to start successful businesses. So that's something that we're very excited to see on the MIM.
Is there an incubator program or a business plan competition or anything like that that would encourage entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. We do have an incubator here at London Business School, and actually out of the 11 companies that were brought into the incubator this past September, October, three or four were actually MIM alumni, which is great. So students who have recently graduated, just in their final year, have the opportunity to apply for the incubator. So they're looking for students or alumni who have well-developed business plans and are looking to sort of further develop those with the support of our entrepreneurship community. So we've had students go into companies that create medical devices. We've had students go into beauty and healthcare, technology. So there's sort of no one direction in terms of entrepreneurship. The sort of venues or ventures rather that students are starting, but there really is that motivation to, I think, have that ownership of a company and to be able to build that on your own.
Great. Is there any, I should have looked it up before I got on the call, but I didn't, is there an average salary of MIM graduates, or does it depend, is it very variable, is it?
It's pretty variable. The average is about 36,000.
Euros? 36,000 euros or dollars or?
In pounds. So, okay. So 36. We do actually have the breakdown between euros, dollars, and pounds on the employment report, which can be found on the website. So that was for the class that graduated in 2013. The class that graduated this past July, the employment report will be released in January. So that will, I think, give sort of a better overview of what's sort of currently happening in the market and, specific industries.
We'll include a link to that report in the show notes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But are you seeing, or you mentioned that, is there more interest from corporate recruiters? Are you seeing less from consulting and finance, or is it just growth in corporate, or is there another kind of a shift going on in terms of recruiter interest?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure necessarily that the growth is necessarily in the recruiter interest, but in the student interest.
Got it.
There are students coming in who, maybe have entrepreneurial plans in the long term, so they're looking to work for a startup in the shorter term or work for an organization that works with startups. So Rocket, for example, we've seen quite a few students go into. So it seems to be an interest area more from the student side. But certainly we have recruitment evenings all during the year, including MIM-specific events, and we're still seeing, I'd say, really an even spread between consulting, finance, and industry. So that sort of aligns with the 2013 stats, being that students were kind of evenly distributed between the three areas.
Okay, great. Now, you and I had discussed on an earlier call whether the earlier MIMs are now going back for MBAs, and I'm wondering if you could share again what you're seeing in that regard.
Yeah, this has been another interesting one. It's actually a question that we asked ourselves when the program first launched, and it's a question that we get from many prospective candidates as well. Will there be a need for me to pursue an MBA? We are starting to now see students from our first couple of graduating classes. So the 2010, the 2011 classes are now sort of going into their first, second year MBA. So we have students at Harvard, Wharton, and INSEAD, and more this year sort of applying to other programs. And I think, you know, like anyone, I guess, applying to the London Business School MBA, we've seen these students going to pursue the MBA for a few reasons. So, you know, one, to excel in their current role or current industry. So, you know, a number of students have had support from their employers, or maybe they're interested in starting a business. And from the students we've spoken with as well, some students have gone in maybe with one of those intentions, but have discovered that their interest might lie someplace else, or they have a new skill set that might be well suited to another industry. So it seems to be a really good time for these students who have been in the workforce for a few years to kind of explore their options and to if they're interested in reevaluating, then and that's something they can do as well. I think for anyone who is just trying to decide whether to pursue a MIM or an MBA at this point, the sort of discussion we normally have is it's difficult for us to say just by sort of looking at your CV or your career ambitions whether or not an MBA will be needed or necessary. I think a lot of it depends on you, whether or not it's necessary to get that next promotion, whether you need it to switch careers. Some employers love having MBAs on staff. Other industries, they might look for other qualifications. So I think a lot of it depends on sort of where you're at once you get out of the MIM sort of 3, 4, 5 years. But all of our students who are in their MBA programs now seem to be having a really fantastic time, working with great faculty, working with great students, and being able to expand their network in that sense. I think that's another real benefit of these students who have gone on to pursue their studies.
Okay. What can you give us an example or two, let's say, of MIM success stories or some people that you feel really stand out in your memory?
Well, we were talking about the incubator earlier, and actually one of the first companies that was accepted into the incubator from Masters in Management were two students from our 2013 class. One was from a very technical engineering background, worked in sort of very tech space. The other student had an internship at JP Morgan afterwards, was very much on the finance route. And they decided to start a business that sort of combined both of their skills and their interest in innovation and technology. And they were accepted into the incubator with a company that works with near-field technology. So, for example, if you go to a concert or a festival and you don't want to carry a credit card around, you can have sort of a prepaid wristband to make purchases. So that's sort of the idea, one of the ideas. But what we really love about this story is that they have actually created software for London Business School to use. In the classroom. So we're actually working on the Masters in Management very closely with this business, which started right here in the incubator as part of the Masters in Management program. So it's great to be able to kind of have seen that journey.
So is it like instead of wearing dog tags, you wear this thing on your wrist? Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the uses for it. We're using it for different ways of marking off attendance at events and in lectures. So it's just great that they've sort of come full circle, and to have this very successful business actually now working with the Masters of Management is something that is really pleasing for us to see.
That's great. That's fantastic. Anybody else you want to share?
We've had a lot of students go into many different industries. We've had quite a few entrepreneurs, I mentioned. There's another student who worked at Apple right after completing his studies, and now runs a luxury shoe brand.
Wow!
Very high-end shoes that are sort of bespoke and handmade. We have another student who actually from the U.S. studied at University of Chicago, political science background, really interested in entertainment, and is now working at Fox News International in financial planning as a senior analyst.
Wow.
So He's been able to really use his master's in management to excel very, very quickly in the organization, I think, to get to a senior analyst position within the 2 years that he's graduated from the program is not very heard of. So I know he's been able to sort of really utilize those skills and learnings from the classroom community here to kind of get to that sort of dream job that he has now.
How do MIM students fit into the larger London Business School community? And you mentioned that now they can take some classes, two elective classes. And I visited London Business School, I think now it's 3-4 years ago, and I was really impressed just with the energy in the building when we visited. I think it was February, it was cold outside, everybody was in, but the place had such a buzz to it. And I talked to a fascinating MBA student at the time, a couple students, and met with some people. But I think one of the distinctive features of London Business School was that whether you were going for an MBA, a Sloan Fellows, Master's, or an EMBA, you could all participate in the same clubs and activities, et cetera. Is that also true of the MIM students?
It is, absolutely. And I think that's one of the sort of really unique aspects of London Business School, the fact that it's an entirely postgraduate business school environment to be in. And I think it's very rare, as I mentioned, for someone who's just graduated from their undergraduate studies might have a bit of experience to be in a club with an executive MBA or a Sloan Master's student who
could be 20 years older.
20 years older.
Yeah.
Exactly, and our sort of our C-suite students. So the MIMS, I'm glad that you're able to see that during your visit. I'm always amazed at, as I said, you said I'm from California, so people are able to kind of power through the cold here. there's quite a lot of it, which I think is a testament to the London spirit. But the community is such an important part of being a London Business School student, and that's why we do ask about that quite a bit during our application process, because we want students who will want to contribute to the community here, and the MIMS definitely do that. Within the Student Association, which run the clubs, most of the major clubs have at least one MIM representative, so who serve as the liaison between the club and the class. So a great opportunity to sort of really hone those leadership skills, and as we're talking about, learn how to manage up, learn how to manage down, yeah, and kind of work on those soft skills.
They'll be doing a lot of managing up at London Business School, if just considering the age and the experience levels, but right?
Yeah, I think there's a really great community here where the MIMS have the opportunity to learn from those students who have experience, but I think likewise that the rest of the community are able to learn from the MIMS who are coming in at a different point in their careers, maybe have different views on industries, and are able to sort of really share that in a communal setting. So when it comes to the community environment, we wouldn't expect everyone to run for president of the Student Association, but we do expect to see students being able to engage in whichever way is most beneficial to them and in whichever way sort of interests them. So we've had students help to run conferences. So the TEDx conference in London is usually, there's sort of a very heavy MIM involvement there. We had two MIMS last year help to form the automotive club on campus. It'd be quite difficult to start a club on campus just in 1 year, actually less than a year. So the fact that this is really thriving is something that they should be really be proud of. It's also about sharing your stories and experiences, whether it's with your study group or whether it's sitting in the consulting club. We really encourage students to go out there and just really be a sponge. A year goes by very quickly. There are a lot of resources at London Business School, a lot of opportunities. It's just deciding what works best for you and how you want to spend that 1 year that you have on campus.
Great. Now, I think you've probably sold several of our listeners on the MIM. What is necessary? What is necessary to get accepted? What are you looking for?
So I think aside from sort of basic entry requirements, which we would really expect all candidates.
I would assume that grades are probably more important for the MIM applicant than, let's say, for the MBA or certainly for the EMBA or Sloan applicant.
Well, certainly with the grades, we do place, I would say, a heavy emphasis, because that is a way for us to have an understanding of whether or not you have, the ability to succeed academically on the program,
sure.
which is what we want for everyone coming into the
and
program.
And it's recent.
To excel in
recent
well.
For the men.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, the undergraduate degree, GMAT, GRE, these are all ways to sort of assess that aptitude for studying on the program here. And we have students coming from many, many study disciplines, so we do understand that, and many different education systems as well. So we do take all that into consideration when reviewing grades and reviewing one's improvement over the years of their study. But I guess aside from kind of the numbers and the basic entry requirements, which everyone is expected to meet, we really want to see students who, kind of related to the club's discussion, who can demonstrate that they are interested in being part of this community, that they've done their research, that they have share their motivation, their LBS admin motivation, their career motivation, what is it that they're passionate about, and what have they learned from their experiences, and how will they share those experiences in the classroom. These are all things that are important to us. It's still a fairly small class. We have 176 students on the current program. And we like to know that each one of those 176 students will be able to, hopefully gain a lot, but also be able to contribute back. And in the application, we really want to hear sort of your voice and your story. We're interested in who you are as a person, rather than sort of who you are within this whole applicant pool. So,
you don't want them to stick labels on themselves, in other words.
Exactly. We really are interested in, who applicants are as individuals. We review applications, each one cover to cover. There are sort of no piles where GMAT score ranges go or, GPAs go. For us, it's really taking a holistic view of your experiences and what you'll be able to share with the community. We also like to connect the dots. So how does the MIM fit in with your undergraduate? How does, both of your degrees fit in with your future career goals? So I think if we can see sort of a clear connection, if we can see that there is a good rationale for this as your next step, we're then sort of interested to take the discussion further.
Okay. And do you have a preference, let's say, for the GRE or the GMAT? Do you care?
No, we absolutely accept both tests. We would say for anyone who's interested in a consulting career to consider taking the GMAT. Certainly a lot of students we see recruited exactly into some of the consultancies. They do like to see GMAT. But for us, we do assess the same section, so verbal quants and analytical writing sections we review for each of the tests. And we always encourage students or applicants to talk to students maybe who have taken both tests, just in general, who have gone through the application process to get, some advice and some tips on how they were able to get through it successfully.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that, obviously, we've talked about this being a pre-experience or early experience program, but yet you did indicate that you want them to have some relevant business experience. Did I get that right? Either internships or courses or a year, up to a year of work experience. Is that correct? So they should have some evidence of interest in business.
Well, I think definitely evidence of an interest in business, and that's something we explore both in the application, but certainly in more depth at the interview, I would say. But because the program is for students with limited business experience, not everyone has experience, and that's absolutely fine with us if we can see this interest in how sort of gaining a business degree will support you, personally, professionally. So we have, many, many students who don't have any business background. We've seen lots of very interesting student activities, so we love to see applicants who have been involved with student societies.
Okay.
There are a lot of students on come to the MIM who've been involved with Model United Nations and Enactus, and many of these sort of student leadership development organizations A lot of students come from family business backgrounds, so have this interest in maybe supporting their family business in the future, or maybe want to use that experience to sort of break off on their own.
Would you consider someone who, let's say, has a graduate, graduate degree in the STEM fields, but really is in essence an early career applicant?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we have are seeing more. I mean, in the science,
even a master's or PhD, but a lab degree.
If someone has a lab degree, I mean, we've actually had a few pharmacology students coming in over the past few years who are looking to bridge their sort of technical science background to go into a business. So, for example, someone might be interested in going to GlaxoSmithKline and looking to sort of go into a management career within healthcare or pharmaceuticals or biotech. Mm-hmm. So, that for us is an interesting transition to make. We haven't seen any students. I think we've had maybe one or two students who have had a PhD or PhD equivalent before coming onto the program. But certainly, in those cases where students have any prior postgraduate study, so whether it's in a business-relevant field, whether it's in a non-business field, we're looking to understand, why continue with your studies in a different subject area.
Of course.
And again, looking to connect those dots. So we do have right. some students, have studied, finance postgraduate courses before coming in. We've had students study liberal arts degrees. It's just connecting the dots for us and really understanding how you'll use all potentially 2 to 3 of your degrees in supporting that next step, post-masters in management.
Or making a career a change. I mean, there are lots of specifically PhD students who are realizing that this is not the path for them. I mean, there's tons
of... And I think that's fair enough, and I went into college in the U.S. at 18. What I enjoyed at 18 might not necessarily be what I enjoy at 22 when I graduate, we completely understand that. And a lot of students, candidates do use the MIM to sort of explore their options.
Yeah.
We do like to see, idea of career-wise what you want to do after completing the Master's in Management, because that's, of course, one of the reasons why you're probably coming here. But we certainly don't hold students to that one career that they've written down in their application. And if anything, we really encourage students to be flexible nowadays. Yeah. As I was saying, the job market is tough. And it's important to, just like applying to undergraduate programs, you need to really diversify your recruitment strategy. So, applying to different companies, different locations. But of course, having goals in mind while doing that. And then that's what our career services team is here to help with.
I frequently say that having a goal, you can be like a weather vane. You'll shift with the wind, but you still have a goal. If the weather vane is broken, though, it just spins. It spins in the wind. Doesn't know. It doesn't have any direction. Doesn't know where to go. And I think that really is that's a major difference. You can change direction all the time. That's okay.
Absolutely. And we've actually seen students. For example, the students going into MBA, there are many students who are starting businesses. That go into a job post-MIM for a couple of years. Maybe through that job, they find they have a more specific interest or a different interest, look to try something new. So that's been another exciting thing for us now that we've had these classes graduate, is seeing the trajectory that they've gone in, because it's not to say that one person who goes into a consulting company post-MIM, they might have started a business in a completely different space. So that's been something that we've been keeping an eye on, and something we've been excited to see.
Any last words of advice for applicants considering the MIM?
I would really encourage anyone who's interested in the MIM to speak with current students and speak with our team. So we have student ambassadors who have contact details online. They're always happy to connect you with other students. I think from an admissions perspective, it's good to speak with us, send your CV in advance. We can talk about your eligibility and sort of your profile, whether that fits for what we're looking for, but I think speaking with students gives you that sort of real insight into what the community is like, what the classroom is like, what a typical day or a week looks like, which doesn't actually really exist here at London Business School, because every day there's something a little bit new. But I think there is a lot to be gained from speaking with those who are part of the community or have been part of the community if speaking with alumni to help you decide whether this is the right environment for you. So I would encourage, you know, any potential applicant to any program really to speak with as many students as possible. Visit campus if you can to see if it's an environment you'll be comfortable in studying for, you know, 1, sometimes 2 years. And that's something we like to see as well at the application stage. You know, that shows us, again, something about your motivation and your interest in coming to study here, that you've taken the time to do that research and to show your commitment.
For sure. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me today. I think this has been marvelous and will be incredibly informative to whomever listens to it. Where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about London Business School's Master's in Management program? Both of them.
Yes. I guess the first point, best point of contact initially would be to go to our website, london.edu, and from there you can navigate to the Masters in Management or Global MIM pages. We do have a Facebook page where our student ambassadors actually are posting photos and updates from lectures, from events, from exams most recently, to sort of share those experiences. So that's a great way to sort of get an insight into what's happening in the student community. We have a student blog as well. We have an admissions blog where our team hopefully gives some useful advice. What we hope is useful advice for you and any of you out there thinking of applying. So those are all areas where you can navigate from our main website. And of course, you know, any questions, we're always available via phone or email. We have online information sessions for those people who aren't able to come to campus, and we certainly encourage anyone who's interested to stay in touch.
Sounds good. We'll include links in the show notes at info.xip.com/85 to the sites Jamie just mentioned, as well as to related articles and shows and earlier shows. Listener, thanks first of all to Jamie for joining me again. And listener, thank you too for joining Jamie Wright and me for our 85th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes or by telling your friends. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk, especially if you leave a five-star feedback on iTunes. So if you think AST deserves those 5 glittery, shining stars, please let iTunes know. There's a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. And if you have a question for me, please ask it at info.xipit.com/85 or by sending an email to questions@xipit.com. Thanks again for coming. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk for 2015. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Xipit, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com. Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.